Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. I have a very special guest today. First time we've actually met, but we shared a conversation on, I think, that new platform Clubhouse, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm so excited to introduce him and share his story because it's the kind of story I love hearing. His name is Joe Lane. He's the founder of many successful technology companies, including Adaptive Software and Dash Now. But he didn't get there alone. And I love the fact, Joe, that you have that in your bio, because everything I teach is about the power of association. And it's so important we acknowledge that success is truly a team effort. And I just want to acknowledge you for having that right up front. He started his first business right out of high school. Sound familiar? Yes, building websites. And really dedicated himself to doing just a top-notch job. And in 2009, he read a little book, and he's going to talk about that a little bit. But he took his knowledge and he started his own company. And he actually just sold a tech startup for $25 million 6 years after that. So that's pretty cool. And he was grateful enough about what he learned about money that his personal mission is to help pass that knowledge on and leave a legacy for others. And we've been talking about legacy a lot on this podcast recently. And I love that you quote Napoleon Hill, and you said, to help millions of people, many which have not, have been yet been born. So the legacy lives beyond you. So Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sharon, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I am so thrilled to share your story, but what I always ask, a very first question is, tell me about Little Joe. Tell me how you got started.
Yeah, Little Joe. It was not pretty by any means. You know, I think adversity played a huge role in my life. You know, I grew up, single mom raising four kids in the inner city of Las Vegas, had it pretty rough, very abusive dad, kind of in and out of prison, lots of drugs and alcohol. But I think for me, the thing that really kind of, as I did a lot of self-reflecting when I got older and kind of look back on, why me, because I've got a lot of friends and people that, have had the cards stacked against them too. And have, for some reason, have not been able to figure out this life game. And as I look back, I realized, watching my mom just get kicked around by life, watching life just beat her down as she did everything she could to fight to raise these four little kids on her own. When I was 10 years old, I remember my mom was just crying in the living room, and she just said, all I want to do is just spend time with my kids. And, she had to go to this little job making a few bucks an hour. And all I wanted to do was help my mom. That was it. I was mowing lawns, raking leaves. I was doing anything and everything I could do to just help my mom. And so that's kind of where it all started for me. And so, when I turned 20, just right as I was turning 21 years old, just about to get 2 weeks from getting married to my high school sweetheart, my mom passed away. Oh. She went into the hospital. She had a spot on her lung. She smoked for 25 years. They took out a lung and didn't make it out of the hospital. So I buried my mom. But then it was that moment I was able to focus all my energy on my wife. And for me, I just didn't want my wife to experience the pain I watched my mom experience. And so there was always this burning desire inside of me. I wasn't really smart. I didn't like school. I hated school. I made it through high school barely. And so for me, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew one thing, I was going to do it. I was going to figure this thing out, or I was going to die trying. So that's a little backstory on me and kind of the start of my life and kind of the reason and the fire that was planted inside of me, you know, so yeah, I don't know if you want to keep going or if you want
to. Sure. Yeah. I want to hear about those early, the your first entrepreneurial endeavors and how you grew from there. And you talk about that little book. So share a little bit more about it. The turning points. You shared pretty major turning points in your life already.
Absolutely.
At 10. All right.
Absolutely.
And then losing your mom and
my mom at 20
getting married and making a commitment is pretty strong turning points in your life.
Absolutely. So 21, I just turned 21. I had buried my mom. I got married and I met an older guy who was about 40 years old, who took me in and he,
such an older guy.
Yeah. I met an older guy who was kind of a, I looked at him like a father figure, but he just really taught me business, right? He saw there was this young kid that had this fire in him and he kind of locked arms with me, this guy, Jonathan Robbins. And at a time where I really needed somebody in my life, he kind of showed up and we locked arms together and we started a software company building, you know, web software for small businesses. And so for the next 10 years, you know, he and I would be, you know, what to me was very successful. We had built the business up to where, you know, 5 years later, we're doing $1 million a year. And then, you know, kind of goes up and down. It was a custom software company. So 1 year you're doing $1.5 million, the next year you're doing $500,000, but you kind of, you know, we're really doing well and I'm making ridiculous money, compared to my $10 an hour I was making, you know, earlier on frying chicken at a little fried chicken place. And so for me, you know, making a couple $100,000 a year was like, I was the king of the hill. I never really an ego, but just, all of my peers were looking up to me like, you know, hey, what do you do? How do you do it? You're so successful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just kind of did what I was taught. You know, everyone in Vegas, you know, every time you stop at a stoplight, there's $1 million of cars sitting next to you. So when you got money, you buy a nice car, you know, you got money, you buy a bigger house. And so I was just kind of following what everybody else was doing. You know, I was just spending the money as fast as I was making it, sometimes faster. And so, you know, all was great until 2009 came along and just wiped us out. And so, you know, I had $100,000 in the bank account. We had nice cars that were all leveraged with the bank. We had a nice house and swimming pool and all the stuff that everyone has on their list of things that they want. And we looked like we were living this American dream, right? We were big givers. We were giving to the church. We were giving to all kinds of things. And we were doing everything right, everything that we thought. And then 2009 came along and just absolutely wiped us out, to the point where we lost the money in the bank. We lost the house. We lost, I mean, the cars. I mean, everything was gone. And so we had 2 daughters. They were about 3 and 5. And my wife and I knew we didn't want to raise them in Vegas. We didn't know where we would go. But my business partner, Jonathan, had moved back to Kansas City with his wife and kids a few years prior. And so we'd go visit once in a while and just fell in love with the area. So we said, hey, I think it's time to get out of Vegas. All of our clients that were there kind of gone belly up. Let's move to Kansas City. Anyway, it was at that time, right around that same time, I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay. And that book absolutely jacked me up. You know, growing up the way I grew up, nobody had money. Right. Everyone said, you know, money is the root of all evil. Rich people are greedy. So these are the things in my mind and my head that I knew about money. And although I knew that that wasn't true because I had just accumulated some pretty good money and I wasn't that guy, in my mind, I just didn't understand money. No one taught me about money. No one had money. I was the guy who had money. And then I lost it and I looked like an idiot. But I didn't really care what I looked like. More of it was, how do I make sure I don't go like through this again? I want to make sure I don't 10 years later find myself in this situation again. So I looked at it as, what can I learn from this? I read this book. It jacked me up bad to the point where I said, my wife, I said, Stephanie, you've got to read this book. She read it too. We both got on the same page. We said, we got to quit spending money. We have to figure out how to get money to work for us. Moved to Kansas City and sat down with my business partner after about a year of moving there. I said, hey, I want to go out on my own because I was kind of the minority owner. I said, I want to start my own software company. I think I've kind of gotten to a point where, you know, we had different alignments. He wanted to retire. He was kind of getting closer to looking at that. And I was like, I'm young, I'm hungry. I want to go build something. I want to go make a difference. So I started over and I took with me what I learned from this book. And literally 6 years later would go sell a company I started from scratch and sell it for $25 million. And the previous company I ran for, you know, with John for 10 years and it was up and down, up and down, up and down. And instead of building custom software, I said, I've got to build a product that I can license back to the companies over and sell the same thing over and over. And it wasn't easy, but I figured out how to do it, taking the things I learned out of that book and just completely changed everything. And it wasn't just that book. That book is what started it. But then after reading that book, there was a bigger lesson I learned. And it wasn't that money, you know, the power of money, but the bigger lesson I learned was that I was so naive. I was like, what else don't I know? And I learned so much from a book from a guy I'd never met before. I was like, this dude, it's almost like I've got this mega millionaire sitting here telling me the secrets of money. And I'm looking at this going, what else don't I know? So I started reading Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I started reading Outwitting the Devil. I love that book. It jacked me up. All of these books were just absolutely phenomenal. One of my favorites as well is a book by Brendan Burchard called Motivation Manifesto. Mm-hmm. So one of the secrets, like every time I would hire somebody in my company, I would hand them Rich Dad Poor Dad and say, your first 3 days, all you do, read the book. That's it. That's all I want you to do, because I want to make sure everyone in this company is aligned with the right vision of understanding money and what we're doing here.
That's excellent. That's excellent, because it is so important. Culture. Everybody has to be, whether it's Rich Dad Poor Dad or someone else, everybody needs to be focused in the same direction.
Absolutely. It's a big deal. So yeah, so I read these books. And one of the things that really, really stuck and hit me hard was when I read Think and Grow Rich, and he says, you know, my goal is to help millions of people, many which have yet not even been born. And as I'm listening to that, I got shivers, because I was like, he's talking about me. Like, he's not alive, he's dead. And I'm listening to this guy going, this, he's talking about me. And so as I read this book, I'm like, this is just absolutely mind-blowing. And so for me, I realized that, you know, the people in my life, they, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that just don't educate themselves. They're not taught to become lifetime learners, and they just go through school and they just kind of go do the rat race, the job, the this and that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I wasn't learning and I don't want to stop. So for me, I found my mentors in these books, and they absolutely changed my life. And I buy tens and 20, 30 copies of every book, and I give them out to everybody. I write little notes in them. This book changed my life. And that's just, I'm very passionate about it, because these books absolutely changed my life.
I tell people I read Think and Grow Rich at least once a year, because the book doesn't change, but I do. And every time I read it, it's like there's something that comes out that I was like, I don't remember that being there before, but it's exactly what I need to hear at that time in my life. So
if I could inject there, there's a section in that book that I didn't remember or hear the first time I read it. But the second time I read it, there was a very, very critical piece of that book that has absolutely been one of my favorites. And I probably, as I self-reflected on my success, and I was like, so what other things, you know, allowed me to be successful? And he really speaks a lot about all of the guys he interviewed that were mega successful. He said, there was one thing, there was a lot of things, but there was one thing in particular that every one of them had in common. And it was the fight and the desire to please a woman. And so he talks about how these men were often motivated by their desire to provide and give and bless and love whatever woman, whether it's their wife or their you know, fiance, whoever it is. But that had they not had that, they may have actually not fought as hard. They may have not have been able to persevere. And so that's one of my favorite parts of that book, because it's so true. At the end of the day, if I didn't have Stephanie and my wife, and because a lot of my fight wasn't so much for me, it was for her and my kids. And it was really just making sure that they could live a life unlike the life I lived. And so if I didn't have that, if I didn't have them to fight for, I'm not sure where I'd be, if I'm being honest.
Well, it's, you know, my friend Les Brown says you got to be hungry. And it is that burning desire, the first step in Think and Grow Rich, that definiteness of purpose, which is also first step in Outwitting the Devil, is having control of what you want and being focused on what you want to achieve. And it may not be a specific thing, but it's a specific desire to build and create and provide. And that desire to provide for others takes it outside of you. And it gives you, you know, you benefit the world, then you're going to get rewarded for doing that. So I love it. So what are you working on these days, Joe?
Yeah. And I love Les Brown. He's one of my favorites. I got so many of his quotes are in my head and I share them all the time. I love them. But yeah, so I sell my company, and, you know, I told my wife, I'd said I'd take a year off, because I, you know, I spent a lot of hours, a lot of missed nights, you know, and I said, I'm going to catch up on family time. Let's travel the world. Let's do all the things that we always wanted to do. And I was, you know, at a point where I could pretty much retire. But I was like too young. I was 36 years old. I'm going, I'm not going to retire. I've got too many people I want to help, other things I want to do with my life, but I'll take a little time. And I got to about 9 months, about lost my mind. So we're traveling the world. We're going to Italy and France and all kinds of places. It's just a blast. We brought the girls with us, and we just got to see all kinds of cool places. But there was one thing I noticed, and it was that it felt lonely. It was like, where is everybody? Like, where, why aren't our friends here? Why aren't other people doing this? And it really just kind of hit me, like, I don't want to do this alone. And so it really kind of connected me back with the root of why I've always kind of done what I do. I want, you know, I gave my wife, my kids, whatever they would want. Now I want to make, I'm on a mission to help other people, you know, and I'm looking for people that have a fire or some energy inside of them that just need somebody to come along and just kind of, you know, show them that they can unleash that energy. And so what I did is about 2.5 years ago, I was out eating at a restaurant one night and with my daughters, my wife was out of town. And I was done eating. I had a great meal and I was waiting for my bill. And it was just sitting there like for 10 minutes, just held hostage. And I finally flagged the waitress down. And I was like, hey, can I get my check? Sets it down. And 10 minutes later, finally comes, gets my card. So 20 minutes goes by and I'm like, this is irritating. How come I can't just pull my phone out? I got Apple Pay and just click, leave a tip and pay. And that's kind of when the light bulb went off. And I was like, hold on a minute. I could put a QR code on the bottom of these receipts and give people their time back, right? Most valuable resource on the planet. And too much time is wasted kind of getting stuck after you're finished eating. So that's kind of where it started. So I put a few million bucks in, got a bunch of my smart friends together and said, for my last company and a few others, I said, hey, let's do this, guys. I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to invest in you. Let's bleed and sweat together. Let's go make a difference. So we do a bunch of research and development, write all the software, and we get ready to launch it in the marketplace and COVID hits. Another one of these storms. And there I am, right? I spent a few million bucks on this thing and I'm literally sitting there with my head down, my tail between my legs, literally going, I just got my ass kicked. Literally, like, I let all these guys down. I'm going, I don't know if we're going to make it, guys. We got all these dining rooms are shut down. I mean, nobody needs a QR code. There's no one eating. Mm-hmm. But then one night my wife ordered carry out. I went to the Mexican place down the street, pulled up and I see 12 cars lined up waiting to get food. And I'm going, I'm watching the staff run in and out like crazy. And I mean, this is chaotic. So then all of a sudden I get back to the office. I say, guys, how do we fix this? How can we help these guys? So we came up with a product called Text to Pay. So, you know, you call in an order at a restaurant, instead of asking you for a credit card, they just ask for your phone number. You get a text on your phone, you click the link, you choose the tip, you pay. And then when you pull up, you say, I'm here, you choose your car and your spot, the restaurant gets notified, they run your food out. We build this thing, we throw it in the marketplace and we just got bombarded. We've got 70 partners all over the US and Canada that are selling our product. We've already put it in almost 400 restaurants. We got another 300-400 in our pipeline right now. And we're doing big deals right now, big partnerships. And we've just been, it's just been phenomenal. Once again, the story of you just don't ever give up. You always try to figure out how to add value and you solve
a problem or serve a need. Successful businesses solve a problem and serve a need. You had prepared for one problem, but you realized that you could help use the technology to solve another one.
Yeah.
That's great.
And so what's happened is the last week we've been in some discussions with one of the huge, credit card processing companies. It's called Heartland. They're massive. And they have actually asked us to private label our product, our TextPay product, because they want to offer it to all of their merchants. And
fantastic.
We're like, so what started off as a QR code that evolved into now a TextPay for restaurants has now become almost like a Venmo for business now. And mm-hmm. So that's kind of, and I keep telling my guys, you know, as we get these kicks and we get these storms come by, I say, guys, do you trust me? Come with me. I don't know what it looks like in front of me, but I know this as we continue to push forward. All right. Luck only crosses the path of desire and hard work. And that's when we're going to hit our the opportunity is going to come by. I don't know exactly what it looks like. I know we'll get there, but just come with me. And so it's been awesome to see what's transpired over the last few months. The company's called Dash Now. We're very excited about what's taking place here. So,
and I think we could probably say you heard it first here. Because we'll have to have you back in another month or two and see, you know, what's happened. Because I have a feeling you're right. You're on that hockey stick. You're just about ready to take off. So I'm so proud. That's exciting. I love it. So if people want to learn more about what you do and even this new technology, how do they find you, Joe?
Yeah. So company's called Dash Now. You can go to dashnow.com. I'm on LinkedIn, you know, Joseph Lane, LAYNE. I'm on Instagram, Clubhouse, Facebook, all that stuff. If you private message me, I may not see it. I get a lot of messages. I try my best to scan through them to find something that looks like somebody who's trying to really get a hold of me. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. That's probably the place that, you know, most of the professionals I connect with. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited. I'm so thrilled. You're going to hang out with me because we're going to do another shorter interview where we're going to talk about, you've shared some of them already, but some of those dark periods, because a lot of people think, you know, to play big, we talk is number one in your field, live your legacy and create maximum impact. But it's not a straight line for success. Just like you said, you talk to your folks, you know, it's an up and down, but it's keeping that focus on what your end goal is. So we're going to ask you to share a little bit about the downside and how you kept going and focused on the future and had that perseverance. And then we're going to talk about some of your success habits. And for those of you watching and listening, that's part of the private Facebook group called the Play Big Movement. And I welcome you all to join it and share it. But rewind this and listen to Joe, because what you heard was a passion to help others, a passion to make a difference. And I just love the fact that you've shared this, because these are, Joe's definitely learned how to play big, and now he's got an opportunity to play even bigger, and we heard it here. So thank you, Joe, so much. And you're going to hang in for a few more minutes, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us.
You bet. Thank you, Sharon. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And thank you all for being part of this, for watching and or listening to the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Go out and have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.